Yeah, come on, man. Little Maiden for you there, kicking off Puck Off with a Trooper.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I could listen to that whole thing, man. That's so good. Hi, guys. It is time for Puck Off. Joe Bartnick, Fraser Smith here in the studios, All Things Comedy in Burbank, California. Andy Beccaro is on the line.
He will be momentarily. Okay. Go ahead. Did you catch, I know we talked on 4th of July, have you caught the Detroit, Colorado?
I have not seen it yet. I still want to see it.
It would be up your alley, but half of it's going to make you mad.
Well, of course it will. Of course it will. Chris Draper's not happy either, still.
No, he's not happy. No, it's funny because McCarty, famous guest on our show, him and Claude Lemieux are actually hanging out and kind of laughing at this kind of talk show. They're having it at a place, you know, for the movie and also probably sell some tickets and
yeah,
whatever. And they seem to be jovial about it. And they seem to be Chris Draper, who's only like on the interview scene, like in the movie, not in the talk show portion of it.
He's not having it.
Not over it.
I don't blame him.
Not over it. No, I don't either. Yeah. Although my stock on him went way down when he complained that Sid took an extra second to shake his hand in the handshake line.
Well, yeah, that's...
It's a little petty.
That is petty.
You know.
That is petty.
Yeah, yeah.
But regarding that incident with the Avs, yeah.
No, he has every right to complain about that. I know I love Detroit and they're fans of mine and my Red Wing love. To this day, though, I still doesn't seem like the most vicious hit, but he got it hurt him bad.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It still never seems like the most vicious. I mean, I saw a harder hit in women's lacrosse over the weekend.
Well, women's lacrosse is pretty tough.
I know. Oh, I was loving it. I'm like, Oh, remember when this was in the National Hockey League? No, it's on the grounds of the Princeton Co-Ed League.
But they are rough and tough.
Oh my God, they really are. But but seriously, about the Draper thing, like he just caught him the weird way.
But you know, Claude is not a favorite.
Oh, anywhere.
You know, he was always the bad guy in the league.
Shanny has a couple fun things about Shanny's in it a lot, and it's great. It's really.
I met him. I told you at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah,
and he was at the valet, and I go, you know what? I'm a Red Wings fan, and he just stared me down. Scary looking dude, man.
Yeah, I was.
But McCarty's a hero always in Detroit.
Yeah, McCarty's he was my favorite
awesome
guest
dude,
ever.
Man. He was just awesome when I met him.
I'm having trouble with the looking it up here, but yeah, he was my favorite guest ever on this show.
Yeah,
Andy. Really? Oh, there we go. All right.
We're gonna get Andy here, folks.
Yeah, just gonna do this. Bear with us. Do this one. Just this version.
Should play some more of the Trooper. There we go.
Behind the scenes look.
We'll get Andy. Got the draft coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm the most. It's you know, it's like I don't deal with it. You know, I'm like I don't deal with the draft. I know there's a couple of guys.
Hey, Andy Beccaro's in.
Have you happened to catch? We haven't really started yet. Just a little, you know, whatever. But Regis Philbin and Kathy Lee used to do just vamping. I guess is
chit-chat.
That the word vape?
Yeah.
Have you caught the Detroit, Colorado? Have you caught that on 30 for 30 yet?
I have not. That's one of the things I've been kind of forgetting to watch. I got to check that out.
Well, I'm giving a homework assignment because I've
I got to see it too.
How am I the first person that's seen it? Usually, you guys see everything first.
Yeah, I got to see it too.
All right, there's so much news. So much news, Andy. First, let's start with our parish. Pittsburgh Penguins re-signed Casey DeSmith 2 years, $1.8 million a year. I actually cut a fan media promo for this. I think it's complete garbage. Either get somebody cheap or get somebody good. That's an absolute retread waste. I see guys going, Scott Wedgwood went for $1 million for next season, this season, whatever you want to say, for October. Craig Anderson, he's been known to make a save or two. 1 year, 1.5. Still cheaper than Casey DeSmith. Or Go get yourself a $3.5 million guy that's not going to be hurt every time you need him.
Andy Despite him getting hurt, what do you think of him?
I just think he's mediocre, and I'd have never given him almost $2 million. Go get Braden Holtby.
Well, yeah.
I was all over him the first half of the year. He really had two different seasons. He did play really well on the back end.
That's why I asked. Yeah, he played well at the end.
If he had stayed healthy, I think that they would have beaten the Rangers. I really do. But does that warrant the $2 million? No. I wish it was lower. If you're going to keep him for around $1 million, I don't know where he was more attractive. Like where else he's going to get 1.9 or whatever. I just don't think it was going to happen anywhere else. But I mean, they must like him. I'm not thrilled with it, but it could be worse. I don't think he's terrible.
Well, like you said, Andy, he played pretty well down at the end of the season.
I think Frazier is always the, except for Mrazek, which obviously we know why. Frazier is like me of stand-up comics. Always gets the benefit of the doubt. Frazier being in the goaltending union always gives the guy between the pipes the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I thought he played okay at the end of the season, didn't he? Played better.
He played so poorly in the beginning where he actually cost Jari nights off. Like there were like three in a row. And at that point I was like, they got to get rid of him. He bounced back. Now, if he shows that again, this will be a terrible sign.
Well, exactly.
I mean, the future will tell.
Jari had to come in three different, when Jari was, you know, Vezina right below Vasilevsky and Igor level goaltending, he couldn't take a day. Every time he'd like, you know, hit the bike because he thinks he's off. You know, DeSmith is out by the first TV timeout. You want to bring him back because, you know, everyone likes his girlfriend's peanut butter and jelly cookies on the road. That's fine. Then pay him $800,000. To give him $1.8 million is a disgrace. And it's like the Junior Soprano, Tony Soprano thing. He's like the old, Ron Hextall is going to be the guy. The old lady begging for money with two country hams under her hand. You know, don't tell me we're broke and you give this jamoke $1.8 million. He's not much better than a goddamn orange traffic cone.
Well, he's not better than Craig Anderson, like you said.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's not that much better than Domingue. You could have got Domingue for $300,000.
Wow.
Andy's dead on the line. Am I right, Mr. Picard, or am I right? Did we lose him?
Did we lose Andy?
I guess we lost him.
I guess we did.
No rebuttal.
No wonder you didn't have a rebuttal.
He's out of cell phone range. Oh, son of a gun.
What's going on?
There he is.
Stay to say, you missed my great rant. One of my best rant of the year.
He really went off.
I'm going to say it again just so you hear, so if you have any rebuttal. You know, he's not much better than a traffic cone. He's not much better than Domingue. You could have got Domingue for a ham sandwich. And now we're going to hear Ron Hextall. He's like the Tony Soprano, Junior Soprano joke. The old lady begging for money with two country hams under her arms. Don't tell me we're broke and you give this guy $1.8 a year. And as Frazier astutely put it out, more than Craig Anderson. I'd rather have Craig. I don't even think it's close. I'd rather have Scott Wedgwood. I've seen Scott Wedgwood have a good little run. And if you're going to think Jari's the guy, I just need someone that's going to have a run who's not going to get hurt April 30th every year.
He got more than Wedgwood, too.
Yeah, Wedgwood got $1 million. That's $800,000. That's a good – that $800,000 would separate you from getting a no-one fourth liner to getting a Matt Martin fourth liner. $800,000 for Casey DeSmith. It's a joke.
Yeah, and then I hate to be the bearer of more bad news from our organization here for Joe, but it seems like, and this has surprised me, that they're way closer to Letang than they are Malkin.
Yeah, they are pretty far apart on Malkin, I heard.
Yeah, I mean, there's memes already gone with him, a Ranger. Malkin Arranger.
Boy.
You know what? I don't have a problem with Gino going anywhere except Philadelphia. And you know what? And you can get more famous and you can stick it to them. You can stick it right up Ron Hextall's ass if he's dumb enough to think that Vinny Trocheck, who I like, a Pittsburgh kid, or anybody else is going to come in there and sell a jersey or make a big goal or do something spectacular in overtime better than Evgeny Malkin.
Well, and I wouldn't want to lose him to the Rangers.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I other than Philly, I can't stop a man from making a – you wouldn't – he's been so disrespected by the Penguin organization since Mario sold. It really – it's kind of like – well, it's kind of like when you see somebody dating somebody like, oh, he deserves that. I mean that. You can, you know, I'll probably get blasted on Pittsburgh radio for this. But you know what? The way he's been treated, I don't blame him for going to a big market, New York. Do you, Andy?
I don't. I don't think the Rangers are going to go after him. I think the Rangers are going to go after Kadri. I don't blame Malkin for going for it. But I really don't. If I was a GM on another big market team, I'm not sure I'd want to put $10 million there for 3 or 4 years, just because of, you know, the frequency of injury. And I don't think his play is depleted really at all. But we know that just from watching him that you either get Malkin or you don't. And, you know, the other thing that has to play into it, I don't know if you guys saw the Kirill stuff going on, but signing a Russian player for big money right now is kind of risky. Kirill Kaprizov just got on a plane and came back to America because they tried to arrest him in Russia. You know, I know Ovechkin's over there right now. I think Malkin is in Florida. I don't believe he's gone back. But I think that that has to kind of play in. I'm not, like I said, I'm not sure if Malkin has gone back or not, but it seems like now there's a question of if we're going to get Russian players over here. We know what happened with the Flyers prospect. So I think that the market may be tougher for Gino than we think.
So what's going on? Because of the war going on, they're now keeping the guys who went back home?
Well, the two instances that have happened so far with NHL players are, I forget his name, but the goaltender the Flyers signed a couple months ago was, I guess, at the airport to come over here. He fell ill, got arrested, and now he's in jail for skipping military duty. Kirill Kaprizov has been charged with faking military documents, essentially. I don't know in what way he faked them. I don't even know if it's a true thing. But it cost him to flee the country. And that just happened yesterday. So there has been chatter that it's first of all, the draft coming up, Russian players really aren't going to get selected. And I'm not sure how the free agency works, especially if they're a guy who has strong ties and goes home in the summer.
Well, they're allowed to be selected. The NHL made clear that, and that's up to the teams if they're going to do it or not. Well, you know, this is for all the Katie Stranges that were, you know, couldn't believe that Ovechkin didn't change his profile on Twitter to a, you know, Ukrainian freedom flag. I wonder why. Because he wants to go see his parents.
Yeah, his folks, yeah.
Oh, I'm fired up.
I think, dude, why did he play for Dynamo for a game? I think he did that because they were like, all right, you did come over here. I think it really, he showed a little bit of, hey, I'm still Russian.
Yeah.
And again, there's no worry. I don't think there's a big worry about Ovechkin. I think the worry is younger players who are coming, who either be coming into this draft or who are on kind of, or not even Malkin, but just younger players, it seems to be the worry is getting them over here because they are that 18 military age, whatever it is.
Yeah, but that's a legitimate, whatever, that's their country. I think the problem for Gino, and then I want to move on. I think the problem for Gino and other guys is they don't have that, well, you know, if the Rangers don't give me $10 million a year, I'll just go play in Moscow and they'll give me an oil field.
Yeah.
They don't have that, you know, fallback plan.
Anymore.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing. But, you know, and I mean this, I love Gino my whole heart and soul. He's Mount, you know, Ron Hextall, he wouldn't know talent if it kicked him in the ass. Look at the teams he's played for and GM'd. Give me a break. He's on the Penguins Mount Rushmore. You disrespect him like that. But you know what? I'll say this. If they cut Letang down to $3 million, 3 years, then fine. Then you know what? He is probably worth $8 million a year. They're not going to change the team. They're still going to be a stupid hockey team. They're still going to get pushed around in the playoffs. But you know what? I can live with the 3 years. I can't live with seeing him for 6 years. It's some ridiculous amount of money.
I don't think he's getting six anywhere. I really don't. I'm very surprised. I thought he was going to definitely be in Montreal. And like I said, I can only go off of what our favorite writers have been saying, you know, Yohe, Rossi, you know, the better writers in the Pittsburgh world. And they all seem to think that Letang is close and Gino isn't.
Yeah, I understand. Getting to more news, more teams. Sean, Ryan McDonough, a guy that actually plays defense, traded for two Jamokes to the Nashville Predators to free up tons of space for Ange Palat. Just in case you thought you had your eyes on Palat, Frage. Is that going anywhere?
Doggone it. I love Palat. But McDonough, I thought, played well in the playoffs.
Oh, all the veterans are upset. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he really played well for
them.
And
he's only making like 6-7, 4 more years.
He's a solid defenseman.
He's a guy you win with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's just one of those things that eventually the bubble has to pop. I mean, you know, this Colorado team would love to stay together forever. Sure, I'm sure too. But, you know, they have to deal with Kadri. It's tough when you got a team that's that good and that skilled. You got a lot of guys making money.
On that same note, Mikhail Sergachev changed agents. So he's going to take some of McDonough's money. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And they re-upped Radish 2 years at $762,000 a year. The big trade in this parish, Kevin Fiala is now part of the Mistress organization. We needed more scoring. Love Fiala. They got rid of Faber. He's a young kid. He's going back to Minnesota. Good for him. Here's what I didn't like. 7 years, $7.9 million a year.
Well, you know, good for him, though. I mean, he's a heck of a player.
I don't know if he's an $8 million guy for the next 7 years.
Maybe not for 7 years. But you know what? I think he'll really help the Kings.
He's going to help the Kings. I think that's a lot. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you got to figure eventually, sooner than later, the Doughty and Kopitar money will be replaced. And they, you know, with the cap going up $1 million, you know, I thought it was a lot, but I think right now, though, it moved the Kings into undoubtedly, to me, third place in the West as far as favorites to win. If we were just saying right now, I know a lot has to happen. Teams are still half filled, but I mean, other than St. Louis and Colorado, who do you just go off the hip is better than them right now in the West?
No, I think it's a great trade. I like 7 years of, I mean, I'm sorry, is he Alexander Ovechkin? 7 years.
Yeah, no, that's long.
I mean,
how old is they must Fiala? Not have seen another avenue to get them over that, to get another player. They needed that one more guy that can score goals, and now they have him. I guess he was maybe their only option, so they overpaid a little bit to get their only option in.
Yeah, I don't mind the 7-9. I would have taken 4 for 8. 4 for 8 is fine for me for Fiala. You make your run now, while the young kids still are not getting paid yet. The Byfield and your Durzies, and then when he's up, or when they come in, then Ange's gone. And
how old is Fiala?
He's under 30.
Oh, okay.
He's like 28, I believe. I forgot about Nick Paul. Nick Paul with Tampa Bay. He's back in the fold. 6 years, 3.15. I think that's a great price for Nick Paul.
Great deal.
Yeah, good deal.
Here's Frazier's favorite. This is what I'm saying. Brock Besser re-signs Vancouver. 6.65 for 3 years.
I think he's worth more.
Yeah, but I think he's worth a little more. It's interesting that he signed. He must like it there. You know what I mean? Because it would have been interesting to see what he got in the open market. And they didn't think they were going to keep him for a period of time this year. His name was mentioned in a bunch of trades. And maybe that was just JR. He throws every name on his roster out there usually. But, I was a little surprised at the number there.
He's been trade bait for years. That just must mean that JT Miller's leaving, which I'd rather have JT Miller. But I like Brock Besser. But I think that's more in line. I think that's a fair deal for Besser. I think Besser's a little fragile.
The 3 years make sense.
Yeah. We talked about Cagliano, Pavone's boy, 1 year, 1.25. He definitely took... Oh, I can either retire or make an extra million playing in Colorado. Because I can't believe that he couldn't have got more money elsewhere.
He probably could have, yeah.
Wouldn't you think, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
I think he just got to Colorado and had a great time and just clicked with that group. And, you know, you go somewhere, you win, you click with the guys. That room seemed really tight. You know, maybe it's just a comfort thing. You're like, why pick up my stuff again? I like the hotel room I'm in.
Yeah, no, 100% what I'm saying. He just must like it there because he really took a hometown discount. And he's made a lot of money over his career, but that's really nothing for him.
Pretty low, yeah.
I mean, Zach Aston-Reese is making...
And he played well in the playoffs, too.
He played incredible. Yeah. He scored the huge goal.
Yeah, he did.
Played with one hand. He broke his hand.
That is low for him.
You know, excellent penalty killer, excellent fourth line. Still got wheels. Now he's a veteran with the Stanley Cup ring. Way low. Big news in San Jose. Bobby Bugner canned. They really did Bobby Boogs dirty, him and John McClain and the other assistant. Because, like, now he can't get a job anywhere. Everyone's already been hired, and now you fire him?
Yeah, it's late, yeah.
But the redeeming news is Mike Greer, good guy, African-American, first African-American GM in the NHL.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Mike Greer.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good stuff, yeah. That's what I did. I kind of, you know, makes that... A little better. And Mike wasn't the guy that fired Bobby Boogs either. May it be noted.
Yeah, good. But that's
at
good.
At first,
they got him.
I was a little surprised because he'd only had a few assistant coaching jobs and stuff. And, you know, he played 14 years, so the guy really knows the league. And I'm like, what's the missing link? His brother has been the GM of the Dolphins since 2016. So, at Thanksgiving table, they've got two GMs.
Yeah.
in the family. And so having a brother who's already a general manager and probably the biggest league in the world to kind of help guide you and be on, you know, speed dial has got to be more helpful than having your dad be a former GM. I mean, your brother's currently going through it, signing NFL players and make rap songs and get arrested all the time. He's probably knows how to deal with this stuff. So I think it's a really interesting signing, and I always loved him as a player. Played forever. Played for like 15 years.
Had a long career. Yeah,
great player, and just like always, kind of a class act. Always like a deadline guy that would come in, score a big goal. Just a good dude. So it's good.
It's good to see the good
good people went out, and just because I think you learn more. Like, I was listening to Billy Guerin on Chicklets. You know, he was president of player personnel development for the Penguins. You get way more into learning the nuts and bolts. If he's behind the scenes, not being an assistant coach somewhere, he probably learned way more about the business than just, you know, sitting next to some coach, you know, drinking coffee to morning skate, you know.
Probably, yeah.
Speaking of general managers, Don Sweeney gets extended in Boston, and he hires Jim Montgomery as the head coach. That's out of nowhere. And instantly, Jake DeBrusk, which is probably the biggest news of all, rescinded his trade request. So he must have not liked the former coach.
Mr. Cassidy.
The rumor is none of them did. He was not liked, it seems like, in that room. And they kind of turned on him. I forget who I was reading out of Boston. Somebody that writes for Nesson was saying the room basically at the end of the year was pretty down on
him. Huh. Wonder what that says to the Vegas franchise.
Well, they didn't have a liked coach before. They do the good. I guess it was bad. You usually go from a guy everyone likes to the guy everyone hates. The guy everyone likes, everyone hates. Everyone's too loose, so you bring in the dictator.
Yeah, usually.
Everyone's too strung out, so you bring in the good guy.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So now they're going, I don't know. Cassidy always seemed, of course, I have no knowledge. Maybe just a bad end of the year. But it seemed to me like before that, the players all played hard for him, and he was in tight.
Every coach kind of has a timer, you know, and good coaches especially, like Laviolette and Trotz. Like, we've seen it with a bunch of different coaches where it's like it's not necessarily them or the team. It's just you grow apart. It's like a relationship.
Yeah. Speaking of growing apart, I don't know, Rick Bowness. He didn't even unpack his suitcase. Rick Bowness, now the head coach. I hope he did throw out his winter coat when he was in Dallas. Because he is the new head coach in Winnipeg.
Hmm.
Yikes, Ricky. Does he need a paycheck that bad to go coach the Winnipeg Jets?
Didn't he say he was retiring too? That was
yeah, he did. I think.
I
yeah.
thought, he, I thought yeah. he said he was done.
Yeah, he. No one gets coaches classier on the way out or on the way in than the Winnipeg Jets. I wouldn't want that. I know there's only 32 jobs, and I don't know, Rick. You didn't put enough money away for retirement. Rick doesn't like sitting on the television set for TSN. I mean, why would you want that job if you're Rick Bonus? Haven't you suffered enough, Rick?
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, he literally has like the Guinness World Record for coaching most games in the NHL between assistant and regular coach.
Well, it's probably in his blood. He thought about it. Now, I got to get a job.
Yeah, I don't know. And they won him because he's a great defensive coach. He put the system in Tampa.
I think he's a good coach. Yeah.
Look at Dallas's defense was, you know, usually great.
Yeah, I think he's a good coach.
So, unfortunately, in Winnipeg, you don't have Heskanen. They don't have what you need. Klingberg and Lindell.
Does not have that.
Does not have that. Or, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't want to cut. I think that's the second worst job in hockey.
Well, and you got the Scheifele-Wheeler issues. Like, you know, there's always been back to them kind of chasing out line A. There's been some problems with that team. Big Buff didn't want to come back and play for him. It's been a franchise that's been bumpy really ever since they've gotten back there.
Speaking of bumpy, guess who wants out of Winnipeg? Pierre-Luc Dubois. No one has made more of a career after one pretty good series than Pierre-Luc Dubois. Well, my God, if Tampa Bay wins that series, we wouldn't even know who this guy is. He'd be the fourth. Well, maybe me and you would, but he'd be the fourth line center in Ottawa.
Well, it didn't really work out there for him.
It doesn't work out anywhere for him. How about lacing him up and scoring a goddamn goal, Dubois? We have to hear about you bitching how much you don't like playing anywhere. Then go play in the KHL. See, enough of Pierre-Luc Dubois.
He did have that one good series. That was about it.
Right? Yeah. That's it. One good series. That's all he's had.
Yeah.
Everything else he's complained about.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry. You're not Jeremy Roenick.
Kekalainen shouldn't have a job still. I don't understand why he's still there. But getting rid of Dubois. It's the only good thing that dude did. I liked it at all. He went to Winnipeg. Part of it was inside baseball. His dad was a bench coach there. And so he couldn't even make it work where his dad was one of the coaches. I mean, where is he going to make it work? I mean, this guy, he seems like he's getting some James Neal patterns about him, but he doesn't score 30 like James Neal does.
He wishes he was James Neal. He wishes he was half as good as he just has to shut up and be a second. You got here's the depth chart. You have Scheifele, then you, then Adam Lowry. Shut up, play second power play, win a few draws, and collect your money. Why the hell is a podcast from Southern California even talking about you? You're nobody. You know, you should give Tortorella 80% of your check. If it wasn't for those 7 days in May, you'd be in the AHL. Enough of you, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Enough. Here's some great news. Derek Lalonde. We buried the lead.
Now listen.
there he is. Frazier got a coach.
Is that great news?
I
know. He's been with
John Cooper's right
hand man. Cooper. He's been under Cooper. You saw him on the bench there. This whole time, he's been there for their whole run, their championships, I'm sure it is a good. Although I saw that they were making a comparison in Detroit to him and Bashil in terms of his resume. I mean, he's been on those cup winning teams, of course, but in terms of like he was a coach in the AHL and then he was a coach at Ferris State. Both of them were
Ferris State, Chris Kunitz alma mater.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think. That it's great because Stevie Y got his guy. This has been the rumored guy that he wanted the whole time, and he got him. And I believe he's the one that brought him into the fold into Tampa in the first place. I don't know if to be true, but I think years wise that works out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's more important that, you know, that there are certain teams and certain franchises that are GM driven at certain times. And Detroit is very much that way. Let Stevie Y get his guys and put them in place. And so I think if that's what Stevie wants, then that's the best choice.
I 100% agree with that phrase. I ask you one question.
Yeah.
Has Stevie Y made a mistake since he's been the GM of the Detroit Red Wings?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, or anywhere he's been. You know, really, I mean, you're right. I mean, he knows what's up, and this is his guy, as Andy said. But, you know, I was thinking Trotz. I guess I was thinking for a name, you know. But I don't know that a name is always the best way to go.
I wanted Rick Tocchet to go there.
And Tocchet, yeah.
As just because I love Rick and I love the Red Wings, and I just wanted Ricky to go there. I think it's a great choice, though. And I think he fits in so much better than Trotz because, let's face it, you're not on the brink of a cup. And do you really want to watch 1-0 hockey games all year?
Yeah, good point. Plus, he's been studying under Coop, and Coop is
absolutely
fantastic.
I mean, Trotz is amazing, but I think watching his teams day in and day out, I think might get a little old.
Well, yeah, and you know,
playing for him definitely does.
And like you say, Stevie Y knows.
He completely knows.
Yeah,
that's why he waited. I mean, they waited. Boom! As soon as the season's over. He's hired.
So you're happy with that hire? I guess
100%.
I am too. Yeah, I guess I am.
Other than talking, I can't think of somebody that I think is qualified as much as him. That I think you want a younger guy. You want a guy that gets along with the players. You want someone that's fresh in the league. You want a guy you want to be happy with. I mean, I thought Cassidy was a good coach. So I don't know.
Yeah, I did too.
You know what happened there?
Yeah, I did too. Well, they say he's a good guy, and he's apparently I read a story where a fan had a sign that said Uncle
Fester,
and they were holding it up right by his head, and he went back after the game and signed the thing and took a photo with the guy. So he's a cool guy.
Absolutely. The Witch, Pavel Datsyuk, hung him up, finally, in the KHL.
One of the greats of all time in my book.
Yeah. But he's not coming back. Speaking of the KHL, Ryan Murphy, who didn't get a sniff under the Red Wings umbrella last year, went to the KHL. So he must really hate his family.
We won't be seeing him
gutsy
for a while.
Gutsy move.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's gonna do what you want, but don't be sending letters to the president saying you want out now.
Yeah, don't bring any CBD oil over there.
Is that what it was?
No, I don't know, but
that's the basketball player.
It's yeah. That's all it was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, they're saying
pretty minor.
They're saying she didn't even have it. Probably they just threw it in her bag.
That's such a bad deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be traveling around that continent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't go. You know, I don't know about going. Yeah, Russia's maybe not the best place to go to right now.
Yeah, I say bring her home immediately.
Just don't make me watch her play. Well, I think they use the term WNBA star. All right. Is everyone a star? We're podcasting stars. Scott Wedgwood, 1 year, $1 million a year to be in Dallas. So there you go. Scott Wedgwood, $800,000 cheaper than Casey DeSmith. Maybe I should do that for the summer program too. 100 players cheaper than Casey DeSmith. I'd rather
there you
have.
Go. It's good summer programming.
More good summer
topic,
programming.
Yeah.
Here's some stuff. Here are your top 10 RFAs, restricted free agents. That means that they could be offer sheeted, which means stolen away.
Okay.
Jesper Bratt, who I like, New Jersey Devil. They're going to do everything they can to sign him. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I don't get it.
Your buddy.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
But then Patrick Laine.
Who wouldn't want Patrick Laine?
Steal him in a heartbeat. The Norris kid, Olofsson Robertson. I can see someone taking a flyer on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Jason Robertson.
I like
that
guy.
He can score.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's great, yeah.
I think Dallas would match anything, really, at this point for him. Coming off that last season, I don't think you can let him go.
I agree with that. Yeah. Now, I devil's advocate, when you just break Dallas's bank if you're the Kings and go, how about 5 times 8? Here's to you, Mr. Robertson. No Fiali. Don't give away your number one pick, stud defenseman kid. And you just say, here, Mr. Robertson, come play with us. Come to the beach.
Love to have him, man.
Who would you rather have, really, for next 5 years? I'd rather have Robertson. This is not some Pasadena. Robertson's a kid. He seems to play with some more heart. I like Robertson, man.
If you met those two, between those two, I think I would, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you say, Andy?
I like Fiala, but
I like Fiala too.
It's really close. I mean, I mean, without pulling up their stats, I literally think that they have the exact same stat lines as you almost. So it's tough to say. I guess it's just a preference thing. I think I watch Fiala more often, but you know, if I'm the Kings now, you can't do that because he signed Fiala.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though.
What if they don't match it? Now you're over the cap.
No, but I was saying before that, before you trade a number one stud rookie defenseman prospect, do you not just RFA
give him an offer sheet?
Yeah. Well, they probably figure that Dallas is going to match it. So I mean,
Dallas match? Then they have to get rid of probably Sagan or somebody.
Right? I think that they're willing to cut off anything in that organization to keep him. I mean, this year. All their big goals, all their scoring chances, all the consistent pressure from that team offensively was coming from around him.
Yeah, him and his.
You know, Jamie Benn and Sagan, it's not their team anymore. Yeah, you're right. Rupe Hintz and Robertson, those are the guys that are scoring. So, you know, I think that you have to find a way to move some of those bigger money pieces to keep them. You just can't let a guy like that go once he's ascending like this.
No, I know. But the funny thing is that not the funny thing. Sagan... He's been slowed down forever because of his hip surgeries. That's what Backstrom's getting.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they say he kind of came back at the end of the year, but that was almost a year and a half, calendar year and a half. That makes Backstrom like 38, 39.
Yeah, with a hip.
Yep. Matthew Tkachuk on the restricted free agent list. Georgiev.
Wow. That's surprising.
So, but
he asked for a trade too.
He's officially asked for a trade.
Yeah, he wants out. Georgiev and somebody else in New York, I believe, had expressed interest in leaving. Essentially, yeah. I think he wants to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we got Casey DeSmith, so we can't give Georgiev 2-5.
I would take Georgiev in a heartbeat.
Oh my God, yeah. Casey DeSmith
and Tkachuk.
Over Matthew Tkachuk, the captain of the Ottawa Senators? I think the Penguins could use Tkachuk probably more, but I like Georgiev a lot, though. I like Georgiev coming to the Red Wings a little bit over there.
He'd be great.
Number 1A, 1B?
Yep, I'd like that.
Yeah. Noah Dobson, good defenseman, and Ottinger, excellent goaltender for the Dallas Stars. Here's another list I got here as we delve into summer programming. Here's the most annoying fans in the NHL.
Oh, okay.
Top 20 annoying fan bases. We'll go from 20 to 0 or 1. Nashville. I honestly did not have a nice experience in their arena.
You didn't like it there?
Yeah, I can't believe they're not top 10. They're in my top 5.
Ottawa, I don't know where you get that from. The Calgary Flames, that seems like a Canadian thing. Chicago, probably just a little jealousy there. Washington Capitals, I don't know, a little jealousy maybe. Minnesota Wild, or I don't know. Really, Philadelphia, how is Philadelphia like number 14?
Yeah, they should be up higher in this one.
They pulled the wrong a bunch of people. Because, I mean, that's how I make friends around North America. When people say, oh, you're a Penguin fan. I go, yeah. I go, where are you from, Philly? They go, no. I go, well, then we both hate the Flyers. I go, yeah. They're from Boston or New York or Detroit. We're anywhere in North America, we can all agree the Flyers are the worst. So, Colorado, I don't see that. Maybe a little jealousy, but I don't think this was like Carolina.
What?
How many?
Yeah, I. You know what? No, the dancing and the air raid horn.
Andy hates that. Andy hates the.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think they should be higher up.
Okay. Well, it must be. They must have seen Bill Cowher spinning the hurricane wheel. But I still hold that against you, Bill. The Vancouver Canucks. You know, I think that's more of a Canadian thing. I think a lot of people in Canada don't like the Canucks. The New York Islanders?
Huh. Yeah.
They should be top three.
I don't know about that one. The Pittsburgh Penguins? Okay, a lot of people jealous. A lot of people don't like us. I would think we'd be a top. We're a top 10. We're a top 10 hated team.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The Vegas Golden Knights. There's not that many of them, but the ones there are do kind of suck. I will admit. I don't mean my friends like Mad Dog, but they're kind of very spoiled. I know top five, but, you know.
They got a little spoiled early because they did so well.
The Bruins, that's just an overall Boston hatred. I see that. The Bluesers, no, come on now. Blueser fans never hurt nobody.
I don't see that.
The Edmonton Oilers.
Really?
I don't know. Never been a problem there. Me. Top three, the Canadians. That's got to be a Canadian thing.
It is.
And a Boston thing.
Yeah, same thing.
And I enjoy the Canadians crowds. I love going to the Bell Center. It's my favorite places to go. But if I had any ill feelings about the Canadians, I would hate them because they make it into it's a very loud party. And every penalty that goes against the Habs is a total travesty. And every penalty not called, they can't. So they're very intense. I could see if I was a Boston fan or if I was even a Ranger fan, maybe I might even pick them.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought I've always kind of felt a little the entitlement of the Montreal fans, which I think they've earned.
I think you're
kind
right.
Kind of like that's the Yankee true. Fan thing. Like, that's their team. So Yankee fans that live in, San Jose, I've been a Yankee fan my whole life. Like the Steelers fans that live in San Diego. I don't buy that. But when you're from New York and you're a Yankee fan, I get it.
Yeah, sure.
You had Ruth, DiMaggio, Mantle.
Yeah, you've earned it. Yeah.
Lou Gehrig. So number two, easily the New York Ranger fans.
Yeah.
Top five. I mean,
Andy's gone to a lot of those games. Would you agree with that, Andy?
I would, even though I'd put the Islanders above them. They deserve to be together on this top three or four. You know, I always had positive experience with Ranger fans for the most part, but yeah, I mean the amount of complaining about penalties makes them annoying to me. The league couldn't be more set up for the Rangers to win all the time, but according to Ranger fans, it's all set against them always. There's always a conspiracy. Always.
Yeah, I think the Garden is the best place to watch a hockey game, period. And I've had some horrible nights of watching the Penguins get destroyed, and I'm destroyed by Ranger fans. I don't think this is so much the in-game Ranger fan. I think it's the everywhere else Ranger fan. Yeah. They're pretty annoying for someone that's only won once since 1940. And then number one, the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is a Canadian thing, really, because I kind of see them almost as Cubs fans. Just like you always lose. Don't you feel bad for them at some point?
Yeah, they've been waiting a long time.
I mean, they're like if the Ranger fans. It's like if the Ranger fans didn't have 1994.
Yeah, they are obnoxious, and I will say this about them. I think their fan base is made worse because of how well they travel. When the Leafs are playing, just about anywhere in North America, people are there and they're loud. And I think a lot of the voting probably is from that. I think a lot of the Florida teams especially are probably like most annoyed with the Leafs and the Rangers because people retire down there and get the East Coast people retiring. I really do think that they do annoy. They needle a little bit when they come in, for sure.
Well, they're the only team that really like gets a lot of fans at Penguin games too. Forever.
They used to dominate the Mellon Arena. They used to dominate the Igloo. I remember going there being like surprised it was a home game.
You get a lot of Toronto fans at Pittsburgh?
Yeah. More than any other venue.
Well,
fan base.
Huh.
They take over Buffalo as well, but that's kind of because they're right there. Like a lot of Buffalo season ticket holders are actually Leaf fans because they just can't get Leafs tickets. But other than Buffalo, and Montreal, I believe, Pittsburgh is the next closest city for them to travel to. So it's just an easy travel time.
And then, and they get to see, you know, Sid or Gino. And
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's not like, hey, you're going to. conspicuously absent. No Red Wings.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Everyone always kind of loved the Red Wings, but the jealousy's worn off.
It is now, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No.
It'll be back.
Sharks fans are kind of annoying, I got to say, but I don't think there's that many of them to really make a big list. But I always thought them to be a little annoying. In game, probably the most annoying as me going as a Penguin fan in any place, I got to say. Even more than the Garden. I'd have to see the Sharks fans. Sharks.
The Sharks?
You really? Oh, really? You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, a little mouthy, a little bit like, you know, maybe I didn't have respect for the franchise, but I don't know. I thought, you talk about like they don't, you touch one of their guys and, you know, and they got assassinated like Kennedy, you know, I don't know. I think they could be a little, but I thought Detroit not being there was rather huge.
Yeah. That's
were the Devils there anywhere?
No. And nope. That was my other one of saying not in there was the Devils.
Interesting.
There's not a lot of them, but boy, they can grade on you pretty hard. You know, it is Jersey after all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I was like kind of shocked they weren't on there, because I remember just being in line at the Hall of Fame with two New Jersey Devil fans, and oh my God,
Putty yeah. will be upset that he
didn't. Maybe Putty gets the goodwill. That's why.
Well,
maybe
could be, like, could be.
Here's a good one here. Best food, top 10 arenas for food.
That's interesting. Okay.
We'll go 10 to 1. Vegas. I don't remember the food so much.
I don't either.
No, the food stinks in Vegas.
That's why we have you, Andy, because I know you've had every concession stand in North America.
Oh, I hit them all.
I knew you
they had this,
right up your
they
alley.
Had this awful they had this pizza that was like $15 for like a one big slice, and it was like school pizza. And nothing seemed to happen. They didn't have any of those items where, like, you know, well, keep going. They didn't have anything to use.
The Carolina Hurricanes. Never ate that.
I've never been there.
Colorado Avalanche. You tasted some of the food there. So you.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I don't remember it being. I remember what I ate. I had a burger. And I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't like the you know the school lunch burgers. It was good. And they definitely had a lot of different like local concessions too.
I'm putting this out there. Me and Andy went to a preseason game in Colorado. Boom.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, well.
If
yeah.
any Puckoff fan wants to fly me and Andy in to their exhibition game,
hey,
we'll,
yeah.
we'll be happy to grace them.
You could be good luck.
With Stanley Cup championship luck. But there is one asterisk. I am not going to Philly, and I'm not going to Ottawa. Any other franchise, more than happy. This is not an anti-Ottawa. I like the city of Ottawa. I just don't want to go to a hockey game when I'm up there.
Well, I think that's
a because you have no chance.
Yeah.
So there's no reason.
But other than that.
Number 7, the New York Rangers. Absolutely wrong. I've said this on this podcast many times. The steak sandwich in the Madison Square Garden is worth getting WNBA tickets to go twice a week to eat that steak sandwich. There's no way.
It's amazing.
So they should be higher up.
They should be number one. They should be.
Just based on the steak sandwich.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not even off of that. All of the other things they have are great. I remember the chicken tenders there are great. Everything that they have at the Garden to eat is great. And yeah, I'm blown away that they're not higher.
Nashville is next. I didn't eat any of the food.
Never been.
The beer line was horrendous, which is half of my ones. I'm like, I'm about the Nashville fans. Like, because some beer line politicking. Number 5, Anaheim Ducks. They have good food in Anaheim.
Yeah, they do.
They really
yeah,
do.
They do.
They do.
Number 4, Pittsburgh. I don't know.
I can see that.
They have Permanis inside, right?
Oh, they do?
I think
so. Well, that's got to put them up there.
Then they had the Burgatory upstairs for a while. I don't know if that's still there. And then they have those, like, the get-go, like, convenience shops and stuff. I think that they do have a lot of
The Ritz Seat Buffet is pretty good. I've been part of that once or twice. But I definitely think the one thing I knock against them, they did take away from the gravy nachos. Remember they used to just give you the nachos and just pour it on there, so you had to take a shower.
The nachos weren't the same once they changed buildings.
Yeah, no, they made it into the here's your chips and here's your nachos and compartmentalized.
That's not as good.
I don't like the carbonization of my nachos. I like it when it's. I like it when they give you a bucket and they pour the. They pour it in like gravy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need to take a shower. That's my kind of nachos. Yeah. But the regular
and
food
also.
Go ahead.
The old arena had, if you remember, Joe, Pizza Hut. they had Pizza Hut pizza instead of having like bad arena pizza.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. A little personal, that little personal pie. Yeah.
Yeah, the little one. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right there, section C18, I remember. But I think Pittsburgh's pretty good. Pittsburgh's a good food city overall. That's surprising.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Lightning, number three. You've been there many times. How's the food in Tampa?
Yeah.
There you go.
Dude, they have a Cuban sandwich that's amazing that I get like every time. So I can't even I know that's really good. And then I know they have a chicken place that's popular. I was gonna say they're definitely in the top echelon.
Number two, the Buffalo Sabres. I bet the food up there is killer.
Oh, probably.
I bet they got wings. I bet they got a ton of good food. It's Buffalo, man. Yeah. They know how to eat.
Yeah, they do.
They know how to eat in Buffalo. Number one is a shock. I can give you 20 guesses and you won't guess.
I was surprised.
Is it going to be Montreal?
No.
No.
And everyone loves those hot dogs. I can't even believe Montreal's not even on there.
Or how about Little Caesar?
Little Caesar's not in there.
Oh, yeah. That's surprising, too. That would have been another guess. It's got to be a newer place then, right? I don't know.
You won't guess it. I'll save everyone here the aggravation.
Yeah.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Never would have guessed that.
What?
I guess Jekyllinen's making the goulash.
Wow.
make it worthy to show up in a
that's
game.
A surprise, yeah.
It is the fast food like capital. Like that's where like a lot of fast food places have their have offices. Like I don't know why I know that, but I do. I did a comedy festival out there, and I know that like I performed in front of all the White Castle executives one time. But yeah, I don't know what they have there. I've never been. I've never been enticed.
Interesting.
All right. Really quick, a couple things that we're out of here. One is the draft is next couple days. Shout out to our boy Logan Cooley. He is a Pittsburgh kid. He's going to be in the top three.
Yeah, he's good.
He started playing hockey when Sid, first season that Sid gave everyone like equipment like 15 years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
How great is that?
Yeah, I think he's going number two.
Yeah.
I think only Wright's going to go above him.
Shane Wright is the
number one pick,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they
said. And then this kid, Slavoski, I think is his name. Is
yeah.
Big kid.
Big guy.
Czech, left winger. Yeah, they're comparing him to Rantanen. And then another big guy is this guy named Nemec. Good puck moving defenseman.
Defenseman, yeah.
Yeah, the winger guy, Slavsky, whatever his name is, from the Czech Republic, or whatever, yeah. Wherever he's from.
Slavoski,
they say he's
Yuri.
The most NHL ready.
I'd take him. He's big.
Of the most.
Yeah.
But that's.
Yeah,
that's,
he's 6'4".
It's pretty big.
Yeah, he can move.
Did you happen to catch Sid? They had videos Sid celebrating the when Colorado got the cup.
No.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I like the shout out they gave him.
Yeah, that was cool. The other, I don't know if you saw the meme, Gino in a Ranger outfit.
I did see that, yeah.
And then the other one I saw that was pretty cool was you see Cadre's T-shirt, Too Many Men?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
That's good. Well, that about wraps it up. I will be – me and Frazier are going to be in the desert with Dee saving the community center, a little benefit concert this Friday night.
Victorville.
Victorville-ish.
If you're in the hood, come on.
If you're in the hood, if you're on your way to Vegas. And then next weekend I'm in Vegas with Mr. Burr.
Great.
That's that. Thank you, Aaron. I was going to say one. Oh, I guess I wanted to say is it's all going to go down this weekend, the free agency. So knock on wood, Gino, I want you to stay.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you don't, I wish you well, like I did Yager.
It's going to be
interesting. And those writers better not. I know Yoey and Rossi won't treat Gino like they did Yags on the way out of town. Not the way the old guard did.
No, I can't.
Ron Cook, that clown.
Don't want to do that. No.
No, treat him well.
Yeah.
He only gave us three cups.
Come on.
He's only a Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, a legend.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that and the draft coming up. And we want to thank you for joining us here on Puck Off. Our great producer, Aaron, we want to thank him. Andy Beccaro, thank you, Andy. Joe Bartnick, thank you.
Fred
Smith. We're Puck Off. We are out.